Hi, everyone. It's John and Gary with you tonight for tonight's campfire conversation. Sam is not with us tonight. He is he's on a family vacation, which he takes every July for about 2 weeks with his family. They typically rent a cabin near a lake somewhere, and they're very much a water boat people family, and they just sail and motorboat and do all sorts of things for about 2 weeks. So he's probably coming down the home stretch on that one right now. So wanted to let you know where he is. And before we start, just a couple other things. If you have not seen the four videos from Bruce Pepin that we produced about topics from his books, one of them's on the webpage right now at Basecamp in the Secret Garden. I think if you click on that and go to Vimeo, all four will be there in a collection. They're just really good. And this current one, if you haven't seen it, after about a minute and a half of him sharing one of his points out of the book, then he goes into his personal story. And it's very personal and it's very candid as he talks about his own life kind of falling apart and what God did with that. So I'd really encourage you to watch that. I think he does a great job with this, so wanted to do that. And then the other thing before we get started is just to say, you know, if you have not signed up for this Basecamp gathering coming up this year in the middle of September, I really want to encourage you to do that. We only do it once a year, and you've heard John and Sam and I say again and again, that's probably the most favorite event retreat weekend that we go to. It's really pretty phenomenal at where the depth of friendship goes and the sharing and the laughter and the encouragement. So I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't signed up. So there, that's good. That's enough. So tonight, here's what John and I want to talk about. And really, John is leading this conversation. As we talked about what should we do tonight, and we do have some plans for some future ones already, some guests we're bringing in. But tonight we want to do something just more personal, conversational style. And John had brought up his recent study of Psalm 90, verse 12. And you're probably all familiar with it. This is the one where basically I'm just doing this from my memory, which isn't good with Scripture. But it's, you know, teach us to number our days that we may live with a heart of wisdom or have a heart of wisdom. But John was taken by this verse, did some, really studied this. And this is what we want to look at tonight. I'm excited to hear John's thoughts on this and where God has taken him and where his heart has gone with this. So with that, John, go for it, my friend. I'm excited to hear about kind of what you've been thinking about in terms of this.
Well, this has been really fun to dig into this, and I feel like we're just scratching the surface. So I'm really looking forward to tonight because just having conversation with you over the phone is going to bring out things, more of the jewels in this little nugget here. And then hopefully other guys listening in, you can share some of your insights as well. But I was just, we have been talking a lot the last year or two about the fact that we are all, or most of us, are moving into these latter years. And I happened to read, I think it's something that Barry Simpson had posted on Facebook, and he quoted Psalm 90:12. And as I read that, I thought, something just struck me about it. Numbering our days, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And I thought, you know, my days are more numbered in the past than they are in the future. And I really want to know more about what that verse means. What does it mean to number our days? Because I've got fewer and fewer to number. I want to make sure I'm doing what I need to here, that I'm getting this heart of wisdom. So I did a little digging, and one of the things I love to do is I have never studied Greek or Hebrew, but I've got a good book. It's Strong's Dictionary of the Greek and Hebrew Words, and it takes you a little deeper into what the meaning is. So I decided to look up what the meaning in the original language for the word number is. Because I'm an accountant. When you say the word number to me, I'm just thinking, you know, 1, 2, 3. I'm starting to count. I've got my calculator crunching away, and there is a sense in which I think this is talking about numbering your days, counting them. But I think it goes deeper than that. In fact, I read a blog just to see what other people thought about this word, and this particular blogger wrote, it means knowing that we have only so many days on this earth, and therefore we want to seize the day, living each day to the fullest. And that's kind of been in the back of my mind every time I've read that verse, is that, okay, we need to recognize that we have a limited lifespan. It's not infinite. We have a set number of days, and we don't really know how many days there are, but we want to make sure that we take advantage of every day. We want to live each day to the fullest. And I think that's just a good perspective. But as I began looking at this more and more, I discovered that the word for number actually is a word that has a primary meaning of to weigh out, to actually count on or to measure the weight of something. And then that's the primary word. There are three other words in the Old Testament that are derivatives of this particular word, and they all have to do with weight. So it hit me that he's talking about more than just numerical sequences. He's talking about something that has weight to it. And, of course, that just strikes me right off the bat, to think of the number of days we have left, but also to think of the weightiness of those days, how important they are, how influential they can be. So anyway, I just began to ponder that, you know, the weightiness of those days. As I was thinking back on this one blogger's comment about knowing we have so many days and you want to seize the day, it reminded me, and I went back and read in Gary, your first chapter of your book, because you talk about the weightiness of our life. And I'm going to read this one little paragraph because I thought it was so good. It tracks right along with this. You say, this life on earth and your relationship to God are about so much more than your usefulness. You had just been talking about how our culture has adopted a utilitarian view of life. You know, how important are you? What is your utility? What service do you provide? And the church has even taken that and gone a little further and said it's a stewardship. And so back to the paragraph out of your book, you said, lately the church has added on a stewardship view of life, the thought that being that God has given us something to contribute to his kingdom work, something which we will be scrutinized by and judged by. The unstated goal here is not to get in trouble on our job evaluation. I thought that was so funny. But you said, I believe God has instead given us something glorious to bring to this world that has to do with joy and intimacy with him and not a forthcoming job evaluation. So, again, I was just kind of tying that into this whole idea of the weightiness of our days, that it's about so much more than just what we can produce, what we can manufacture on any given day.
Here's what I'm struck by. I think, my first thought when I read that verse is, hey, you can hear the clock ticking. There is a deadline. You need to get this done. You know, and they, like they say, a lot of times, you know, pressure and a deadline is what allows you to, you know, determine what resources you have, what you have to do next, because you got to get this done. And that's kind of the feeling I've had in the past of, you know, count your days. You got so many days till this is over, and you have to get this done. which does kind of go back to that idea of, you know, the stewardship model of that that day of, you know, your job evaluation is coming, versus this idea, this is new to me, kind of weigh the days of your life. There is weight to those days. That's to our life. That's hard. Or if you have to measure our life in terms of something quantitative, you can do it in terms of days. And I think that's what hits me is, you know, your life, and therefore your presence measured by days is weighty, you know, and so live wisely with a weighty heart, a weighty life. I haven't thought of it until in that way until you mentioned that.
Well, in fact, I'm going to read what Bob Kane wrote, because this is where I have been for the last couple of years. He says, one reaction to this line of thought is to become that much more anxious and aware that whatever I'm doing right now is taking the place of something else I can't do at the same time. And that anxiousness, I have experienced a lot of anxiety because I'm 62, I'm well over halfway through my life. I don't know how much is left, but I keep thinking, man, if I'm going to get something done, I'm running out of time. I got to step up the pace. And it creates an anxiety that I don't think we're intended to live with. And I think that
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I just was going to say, I think a lot of that anxiety comes because I don't realize, if I only have 3 days left, but those 3 days were what God has taken the last 62 years to prepare me for, then he's going to do something in those 3 days that makes the other 62 worthwhile.
Right. You know, and as you spur this conversation on with me, yesterday, a couple days ago, actually, and I was looking at this, you know, I think one point that several commentators come up with is this, you know, the power of coming to grips with our mortality, which Scripture talks about, you know, and I do think there is something powerful about that, to think, you know, we've got a certain amount of time here, so what is it you need to accomplish here? What is it you would love to do here? What is the artistry that you can actually create here? I think that's important. And so there is kind of a sense, I think, at least for me, there is a little bit of, as Bob was saying, there is a little bit of the ability to go, okay, so what is important right now? If I don't have to do it all, then what is it I should be doing right now? It's really important. It's that, I think about that quote from Churchill, where he said something like, a man that cannot distinguish a small event from a great event is of no use. You know, meaning, what is really important right now? What is large? What is transcendent? What is extremely important? And as I'm saying this, Jim McFarland, I would love to hear your thoughts, whether it's just you just chat it out or however you want to do that, of, you know, your life, because you are looking at your mortality right now. Of course, I see you wrote something here. You said, my perspective has less to do with time and more to do with activity, giving yourself away before you're taken. That's really good. That's really good. And I was telling John, I ran across a quote that I had written down in my quote file a while back that I think is really curious, and it kind of goes along with this. It's a quote by Steve Jobs. I assume it really is him. But the quote goes like this. He said, for the past 33 years, I have looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no, for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. And I had brought this up to John, and we had talked about this a little bit on the phone earlier, and I think what really put some validity, some weight, if you will, to this quote is when he said, and whenever the answer of no, I've had that for too many days, something has to change. And I thought, that's true, because sometimes, you know, there are days we just have to do something. It's a bill to pay, a conversation to have, something to resolve. And in the grand scheme of things, it may not seem big, but it will be big if we don't take care of it. And I don't think we would say, that's what we want to do. If this is my last day, that's what I want to do. There are just days like that. But if that's every day of our life, I think we'd have to stop and say, is this really the life I'm supposed to be living? Is this what God has put me here for? Is this the contribution he's created me to make and to give to others? So that's interesting, because that's kind of in the scope of, is this my last day? Is this the true weightiness of my life that I'd be living out today? I mean, is that kind of where you're going,
exactly.
John?
Exactly. And I think, too, you know, we can look at our assignment and interpret it that way. In other words, I have my part of my assignment on this earth is to work as a CPA. Now, that is not my calling. That's my assignment. That's where I bring my calling. And so there are many, 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 many days that I would say, no, I wouldn't be at the office if this was my last day. But the more important question is, what would I be bringing from my calling, whether I'm at the office or at home or on a vacation or whatever I'm doing? To me, that's the crucial question to ask each day is, what of my calling am I bringing today, and how am I bringing it? If I'm not able to bring it, if I'm not bringing it, then definitely something needs to change. If I'm not speaking into other people's lives, if I'm not coming alongside them and being some sort of a trail guide or a shepherd or whatever, then is when I need to really readdress, what am I doing? Why am I getting up every morning? And I need to make sure that I'm bringing everything I can every single day. Not that I'm necessarily out doing. I'm trying to make a distinction between the doing and the being here, and I'm not doing a very good job of it.
No, I think you are, and I keep coming back to, I mean, I'm reminded from what you just said of what Jim had written in the chat box earlier when he talked about his life is now, it's more about giving himself away before he is taken away. You know, in other words, what are you going to give wherever you're going in this present day? And I think that's what you're saying. It's the effect of your life. It's what are you offering, giving, presenting? And David Geyer, you know, his point, right? A weighty day requires presence, and that anxious living usually keeps me from being present in what's happening right now in front of me. I just think that's really good. This sounds like it's all in the vein of and in the pattern of you know, counting your days, living with the heart of wisdom.
You know, living the noble-hearted life.
Yes.
You know, yes. Living from that nobility that's within.
Yep. Yeah.
And it goes back to also, you have to recognize, what is your nobility? What is the glory of your life, and how do you bring that? Because if you don't really understand that, then you really don't have a very clear picture of the weightiness of every day of your life.
Right. Yes. You know, so several days ago, maybe it was last week, I was... Well, actually, I was stirred by a conversation, John, that you and I and Sam and Bob Allums, who lives in Florida, I think we've had on a campfire conversation, and Mark Haskins, who's in North Carolina, actually Virginia, that we had about living kind of the last quarter of your life, living, as Mark would, his term is the encore years and this kind of thing. So for those listening, we just had a conversation to say, so what is it that you all would like to offer? If you had 30 minutes with a group of men in their 50s and 60s, let's say, and you only had 30 minutes and they gave you the floor, what would you be compelled to tell them to help them live out these years well, walking with God? And so it was a fascinating conversation we had. It was just all off the cuff. There was no preparation for this conversation. But I got off the phone, and either that day or the next day, I was just writing, journaling. What is it that I must do? I mean, at a heart level, what must I do? And for the most part, I live in that. I mean, in a general way, I do get to live in that with a noble heart. But it was fascinating as I was trying to write from the standpoint of what am I really, really burdened by or about. And I found myself, I felt I was kind of kicked in neutral. I could kind of rev the engine, but I couldn't go in any direction. And I realized what the conflict I was facing was that I was either going to talk and I was either going to think in terms of how to develop the noble heart and get this out, or just simply, what would I do that at the end of my life I could look back and say, I'm really glad I did that. I'm really glad I spoke those words or produced those things or created this or linked these people together, whatever it is. So it felt like it was God's invitation saying to me, Gary, take the business model off of this. Forget how to make something work. Just what does your heart want to see? And it feels like it's completely you. And it was such a good time for me to dig back into my heart and what God has put there to push away from, but how would I make this work? How could this be better? It was just, no, simply, what is on my heart? What is the weightiness of my heart towards life, towards God, and towards myself? So it was very helpful.
You know, as you were saying that, the picture that came to my mind is of a very similar thing is the picture of Moses, who happened to be the one who wrote this psalm. And we know the story. He's born into, comes into Egypt, and is raised in the ruling class. But he knew that the Israelites were his people, and he, from a very early age, he had a heart for these people, but he didn't know what to do with it. And the first time he really did anything about it, he killed somebody. You know, he really blew it. And so God takes him on a 40-year venture where he said, basically, it's like God is saying, okay, I know you really want to shepherd these people. So first of all, we're going to go through for 40 years, and I'm going to teach you how to shepherd. I'm going to give you the dumbest, worst animal in the world to learn how to shepherd, because that's how you're going to do these people. And so he spends 40 years out in the desert with sheep. And then at some point after that, he gets called by God to go back to Egypt to help set the people free. And then you know the story. They all trek out to the wilderness, and he is now out there with the sheep of Israel. And that's when most people think he wrote this psalm. And so I'm thinking, here's Moses. He's been through this whole story, and he's saying his prayer to God is that he would teach him to number his days, to count the weightiness of those days so that he could have a heart of wisdom. And I think part of that is looking back to his history and realizing that all he went through was preparation, that every day with every sheep fighting off every fox or every other predator was an important day in his preparation to come along and lead Israel. And then looking forward, he would also count the weight of each day, knowing that he was leading these people into a promised land, and it was going to be a place where they were going to flourish, and God's people were going to become, you know, a mighty people, that God had made these incredible promises. So he was looking backwards and forwards at the weightiness of every single day, and he just had this sense of his of the importance of what he was doing at all times. And it went back to what his heart was. His heart was for these people, and that's the thing, the one thing that drove him more than anything else was to shepherd these people and care for them and lead them forward.
Yeah. And reflecting back to the conversation that we had with the five of us on the phone about the last quarter of your life kind of thing, you know, I remember thinking that, you know, if we met somebody, let's say we all worked for the same company, we were doing the same kind of a thing, if you will, and, you know, we were just a couple of years into this, but there was somebody we were working with that had been doing this job for 30 years, 40 years. You know, we would look at that person and say, we would think about that person and say, you know, they have an expertise and a depth of knowledge and understanding that we don't have. This person has been doing this for all of these years. That's how we would look at that person. And I don't know, and it's funny, our society does not do that, and the church does not seem to do that with men and women who have walked with God for 20, 30, 40, 60 years of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we don't look at those people and say, they have an expertise, they have an understanding, a brilliance, that a weightiness, an increasing weightiness to their life that I don't have. I'd like to glean from that, but to acknowledge that, you know, and yet I think there is this prejudice that most of our culture has to the older that you get, the less weighty your life. You know, to go back into this verse. So I do that. It's a curious thing because I think our life really does become more weighty the longer we walk with God. You know, even though I think our heart may say, well, you may tell me I have a weighty life, but you have no idea or little idea of the times that I didn't walk with God well. And yet I can look at that. I'd look at that and say, you know, but you're standing today with God. You're walking with him today. That puts more credibility to your story to me and the weightiness of your life. So, yeah, I think that's just a good way to look at this. Our life becomes more weighty as our days increase.
I am much more inclined to listen to a man who's gone through incredible failure in his life than someone who's only seen success. Because
right.
I know that the guy who's has failed over and over, he understands far more than the guy who's enjoyed nothing but success.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
And
exactly.
I think, you know, what you said about the value of an older person, someone who's really walked with the Lord for all those years, I think some of that gets back to that whole utilitarian idea. We look for the young bucks that have lots of energy and enthusiasm, and they're out to change the world. And so we put them out at the forefront because they just are so exciting to watch. And yet, I think about myself. When I graduated college, my first few years on staff with Campus Crusade, and I thought I knew everything. I thought I was so smart.
Yeah.
And I would teach Bible studies, and I would spout off all these things I'd heard other people say. And, you know, it's kind of like somebody might come to me and, you know, I don't know how to deal with. I've done made such a mess of my life, and I might spout off something like, "Well, you know, the Lord will redeem all that." And I wouldn't. Basically, what I'm saying is, I've heard that He redeems that, but I don't know for sure. Today, I know for sure because I have failed so miserably and seen Him come back and redeem from my failure. So there's so much weight
right.
to what I might say now versus back then.
Right. Well, and I'm sure for you, as I hope for me and the rest of us, is that now we speak not only with a heart of wisdom, but of understanding, compassion, patience, you know, discernment. So, absolutely. And John, the other thing that strikes me as we're talking about this, Yeah, I think because we more, the church in general, we would look at that verse and take it, have a numeric definition for it, right? Number your days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many days have you lived? How many more days do you have? I think that's what the church does, and that's why we look at younger people and say, well, hey, listen, hey, go with that person. They got a lot of days in front of them, but I'm not hiring. I'm not working with a 50, 60-year-old, whatever, because they don't have any more days in front of them. But that's measuring time and not measuring what a person possesses, the depth of understanding, of skill, you know, of impact. So, in other words, the weightiness of their life, which increases over time. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay, so let me ask you a question now as we come to the end of our time. And then anyone, you have a question or something, just let us know. We'll ask John and he'll answer you. So John, here's my question to you. As you read that verse, you've been reading and studying that verse, how are you, I hate to use this word because it sounds so utilitarian, but how are you applying that to your own life? In other words, how is it that you are counting your days or weighing the weight of your days and your life and therefore developing more of a heart of wisdom, how you live out your life?
Oh, that is a good question. And it kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier, that the last few years as I have crossed over the 60-mile mark and or the 60-year mark, I should say, and you know, just you look at the hourglass, and there's more on the bottom than there is on the top, and what's on the top is moving faster than it was before. So I have seen the anxiety produce desires to go, you know, just make something happen, John, you know, make something happen. Start this ministry or start this church or start this group or whatever. You got to hurry because your time is coming to an end. And God has just thwarted those efforts like crazy. And so I've taken a step back, and now I'm beginning to see what I really need to pursue more than anything else is my relationship with Him, because it's abiding in Him that produces fruit. As I'm abiding in Him, He may call me to action, but my focus has to be abiding in Him. And so I'm kind of going in reverse of what I've been doing the last few years. Instead of getting anxious and going, trying to move forward as fast as I can, I'm trying to slow down and just say, okay, today is one more day to walk with Him, and I want to love Him more at the end of this day. I'm not saying I do this every day, but it's sort of a mindset. I want to love Him more today than I did yesterday, and I want to experience His love for me more today than I did yesterday. And beyond that, I just, whatever He wants to bring my way, I want to be able to welcome that. Now, yeah. I had that little talk with Him over the weekend, and it wasn't very much fun because as I was saying, I want to welcome whatever you bring my way, I was thinking, well, you know, what He may bring my way is a terminal illness or a financial disaster or some family issue, or, you know, He may allow something to come my way that's very painful, and there's no reason He might not. That's, you know, we have to be ready for those kinds of things. And it was just real hard to say I'm embracing anything, but I want to be able to embrace anything. And just to press forward in light of His love for me, regardless of what the next step brings.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
So how would you answer that question?
Yeah, I think we're out of time. I think we need to turn the recorder off. You know, yeah, I know I want to sit down and really work on this, think about this a little more. A couple things that come to my mind, and you spurred on a number of these thoughts. But one is, you know, I believe that my life has more weight, substance, goodness, holiness to it now than it did before. I believe I have a weighty life, but I also now believe very deeply that if I got on some scale of weightiness, and Jesus said, well, let me just show you something, Gary. Let me step out of your life for a second, see what the scale does. I think that scale would change drastically, you know. But it wouldn't be what it was before. In other words, I really believe that God, he's doing something in our life. He really is changing us. We really are becoming more weighty, more holy, more pure, more of what he created us to be. And that's absolutely true. But there is a weightiness about our life that's all Jesus, and that's why, you know, I can do nothing, you know, outside of Christ. So there's that. I'm very convinced that my life is weightier, that he's been doing something in me. On the other hand, a lot of that weight is the very presence of Christ in my life. So with you, I am more and more aware of, I just need that intimacy, that relationship, the presence of Jesus in my life and through my life, because that's what's going to make a difference. Not that I have nothing, because he's been doing something. You know, I'm just not an empty shell. I'm not a puppet. So therefore, staying very connected, I think, as I count my days, measure my days, measure my weightiness, I want to be walk closer to Jesus. The other thing, I'm just losing that thought as I'm starting to say that. The other thing is, and I don't know if I brought this up before in past campfire conversations, but about a year ago, and you and I have talked about this, John, but I heard, I think it was a guy on a TED Talk, and he was talking about the difference between living a resume life and a eulogy life. And I don't think this man was a believer, or at least if he was, he didn't communicate that. But he was saying the difference is, you know, in resume life, everything you do in life is to build your resume. I did this, I had the position, I accomplished this, I created this, I bought this, I owned this, I sold this. And you look at the way a person is living, and you're saying, well, it's obviously you're trying to build a resume that, you know, you can talk about all the things you've done. But a eulogy life is a different deal, he said, because at a eulogy, no one talks about what that person accumulated, what they bought, their positions, their status, their titles. All they talk about is the effect that that person had on their life, their character, their relationship, their friendships, the world that they created. And he said, you know, you're going to live one or two of these types of life. You're striving for one or the other. Striving may not be a good word, but you're going in that direction. And that really impacted me. And I think it's fitting. I've just thought, you know, I need to be careful that I don't think of, you know, what it is that I want to have accomplished for viewing of others in my life versus the effect I've had on others. And that's to me is a life changer. That's a perspective changer. So those things come to my mind, and those things I want to stay on my mind as I, you know, try to number my days and live with a heart of wisdom. So, yep.
Well, I had mentioned to you earlier, I'd been reading this article that was talking about Eugene Peterson, and one of the things that he talked about was he kept referring to the way of Jesus versus the way of modern-day Christians and the church and everything. And I got to thinking about what was so different about the way of Jesus, and it was exactly what you were talking about. He truly lived out of the depth of who he was, and it wasn't building a resume. He was building a kingdom, and he was doing it one person at a time, and he was doing it through just a very small group of people. He didn't like the crowds. He didn't pursue the crowds, and I just think there's a lot for us to learn there of not pursuing success, not pursuing numbers, but pursuing depth of relationship with God and depth of relationship with other people, and then just letting our impact be what it is in those relationships.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Well, John, this has been, I'm so glad you brought this up. This has been a good conversation. I love where you've led this and what you've shared and what everyone else has been sharing. There's been some really, and I know you're seeing it, John, there's been some good conversation between people. Not only you can see the heart of wisdom coming out in people here, but also the heart of encouragement to each other. So it's been, this has been tremendous. So thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
So everyone, just to let you know, we are, our next conversation is in 2 weeks. We're still on the summer schedule, and we're going to have David Ellis come on, and he's just published a book. I think it's called Losing Dad, Finding Father, and it is a, he's a great writer. It's just a fun book. His story about finding God in the midst of losing his father in his life. So we're going to have him on. That's, I believe, 2 weeks from now. And then Randy Luce recommended a book by a guy named Alan, I forgot his last name. He wrote a book called The Story of With, W-I-T-H. And so he recommended it to me after our last campfire conversation. I got it on Kindle, read it, and then called Randy. He happens to live here in the Springs, and he said, I'd love to talk to you about your book, and we had a fascinating conversation. So we're going to have him on soon as well. He said he would love to come on and do one of these with us. So we have some things planned out in front of us, and they'll be good. And if you have any other suggestions, let me know, Randy. I think that's going to be a home run. I appreciate you doing that. So anyone else would love your suggestions and your help with these. So, John, thank you, and everyone, good night. Great being with you, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Good night, everybody.